Environmental surface cleaning. Accumulation of dust, soil, and microbial contaminants on environmental surfaces in healthcare facilities contributes to the spread of HAIs. Many microorganisms survive on surfaces for long periods of time, and contact with contaminated surfaces easily leads to cross-transmission of microorganisms between people and the environment. Routine cleaning of environmental surfaces is necessary to maintain a basic standard of cleanliness and prevent the spread of infection. Cleaning schedules and procedures progress from the least soiled areas to the most soiled, patient zone, and from high surfaces to low ones. Key point: the key to cleaning and disinfecting environmental surfaces is the use of friction to physically remove visible dirt, organic material, and debris, thereby removing microorganisms. Cleaning methods and procedures vary among healthcare settings, and each institution must establish written policies and procedures. A multidisciplinary approach is recommended because cleaning of the environment involves everyone in the facility. The multidisciplinary team should include EVS, infection prevention and control, nursing, administration, clinical engineering, facilities, materials management, pharmacy, information systems, and food services. No-touch methods. Environmental surfaces and objects in rooms are frequently improperly cleaned and remain contaminated. For this reason, several manufacturers have developed room disinfection units that can decontaminate environmental surfaces and objects if first properly cleaned. These no-touch systems use several methods: UV light, hydrogen peroxide, or copper surface technology. Key point: no-touch systems do not replace standard cleaning and disinfection because surfaces must be physically cleaned of dirt and debris before using these systems. Ultraviolet, UV light. At certain wavelengths, UV light will break the molecular bonds in DNA and destroy the organism. Of particular interest for use in healthcare facilities is UVC light, which has a characteristic wavelength of 200 to 270 nm, example, 254 nm, which lies in the germicidal active portion of the electromagnetic spectrum of 200 to 320 nm. The efficacy of UV irradiation is determined by different factors such as intensity, exposure time, lamp placement, distance from the object, presence or absence of reflective material, and air movement patterns/humidity. Room decontamination with UV systems has resulted in significant reductions in aerobic bacteria and C. difficile counts on high-touch surfaces. Nanostructure UV reflective wall coatings have helped to reduce the time needed to decontaminate a room using a UVC emitting device. Automated mobile UVC units have been shown to eliminate pathogens such as MRSA, VRE, CRE, and Acinetobacter baumannii, and to be able to reduce C. difficile on surfaces such as formica and stainless steel found in patient rooms. A UVC system can reduce vegetative bacteria in 15 to 20 minutes and C. difficile in 35 to 100 minutes. However, effectiveness is reduced when surfaces are not in the direct line of sight. Handheld UVC radiation devices have also been produced. These devices also rapidly kill C. difficile spores and other healthcare-associated pathogens on surfaces. UVC lamps may pose risks to HCP and the facility, depending on a variety of factors including the specific wavelength, S, of the light, the dose, and the duration of exposure. Among the potential risks are burn-like reactions in the skin and eye injuries, the generation of ozone, a respiratory irritant, and damage to certain materials like plastics, polymers, and dyed textiles. Research into how to safely implement UV disinfecting technology in healthcare facilities continues. A specific range of wavelengths in the UVC range, called far UV, have been isolated. The wavelength for far UV is between 207 and 222 nanometers. These wavelengths are believed to be safer for humans due to strong absorption by proteins and the size of human cells, which prevent the radiation from reaching cell nuclei at a high rate. In contrast, bacteria and viruses, which tend to be smaller, are completely irradiated at these wavelengths. However, the side effect of this is that the presence of organic matter, which contains protein, reduces the efficacy of far UV. Additionally, the lower intensity of radiation at these wavelengths requires longer times to achieve disinfection. Hydrogen peroxide, HP, several systems that use hydrogen peroxide, example, hydrogen peroxide vapor, HP vapor, aerosolized dry mist, HP, can decontaminate environmental surfaces and objects in hospital rooms. These HP systems are highly effective for eradicating various pathogens. Example, MRSA, M, tuberculosis, sriracha, C, difficile spores, Clostridium botulinum spores, from rooms, furniture, and equipment. Environmental decontamination with HP vapor reduces the risk for a patient admitted to a room previously occupied by a patient with a multiple drug-resistant organism, EMDRO, from acquiring the EMDRO by 64% compared to using standard disinfection methods. However, HP system decontamination has been shown to take more than 4 times longer than conventional cleaning, resulting in prolonged bed turnover time. Copper surface technology. Copper and copper alloys have antimicrobial properties that interrupt the cellular metabolic activity of microorganisms and inhibit growth. Copper-infused surfaces can inhibit bacterial growth on environmental surfaces and decrease the accumulated bioburden over time in occupied patient rooms. Unlike UV or HP systems, surfaces that contain copper provide continuous environmental disinfection. This may reduce the risk of environmental pathogens. However, additional studies are needed to determine if this translates into reducing the risk of HAIs. Comparison of UV versus copper surfaces. UV irradiation devices, HP systems, and copper surfaces can all reduce environmental contamination with healthcare-associated pathogens. The advantages, disadvantages, and efficacies of each system should be studied before introducing it into a healthcare facility. The main advantage of both UV and HP units is their ability to achieve substantial reductions in vegetative bacteria. UV and HP systems are residual-free, and they decontaminate all exposed surfaces and equipment in the room. In comparison, copper surfaces offer continuous surface decontamination without additional equipment. However, this effect is limited to the surfaces that the copper covers rather than the entire room. The major disadvantages of the UVC and HP decontamination systems is the cost of the equipment and remodeling. In order to use the UVC and HP systems, personnel and patients must be removed from the room. The UVC system offers faster decontamination than the HP system, which reduces the downtime of the room before another patient can be admitted, while the HP system has demonstrated greater effectiveness in eliminating spore-forming organisms. Copper surfaces become part of the permanent fixtures in the patient care environment, but specialized training for care and maintenance may be required. Cleaning of specific areas. There are additional considerations associated with other groupings of services and tasks. Here we will discuss high-touch surfaces, housekeeping, and special care areas. High-touch surfaces. High-touch surfaces and items are found within the patient zone, which includes the patient and their immediate surroundings. In healthcare settings, this would refer specifically to the patient's rooms but may also refer to certain common areas. In a patient's room, the zone would include the patient, their bed, and the surrounding high-touch surfaces. Due to the high level of contact patients can have with their spaces, a patient zone can quickly become contaminated by any pathogen or microorganism with which the patient is colonized or infected. It is imperative, therefore, that a patient's room be properly cleaned to avoid any contaminated surfaces becoming reservoirs for microorganisms that could be transmitted to the next individual occupying or contacting that zone. The following are examples of high-touch surfaces: counters, carts, tables, desks, and nightstands, handles, doors, drawer, cupboard, light switches, stair rails, elevator buttons, pens, keyboards, phones, mobile or otherwise, toilets, sinks, faucets. Other common high-touch surfaces that may be found in healthcare settings include TV and other remote controls. Mobility equipment, example, grips, armrests, handles for wheelchairs, walkers. Key point, compliance with both hand hygiene and environmental cleaning practices and policies is the only way to ensure a safe care environment for patients, staff, and visitors at a healthcare facility. Despite the amount of contact they receive, floors, walls, lights, and ventilation grills are not considered high-touch surfaces, and they usually need less frequent cleaning. Facility plans should include routine cleaning schedules for these surfaces. These schedules should include procedures for identifying effective cleaning agents. As with medical and other equipment used by staff and patients, all surfaces should be cleaned immediately if visibly soiled. Cleaning and disinfecting products are not necessarily interchangeable, and EVS staff are likely to use different products from those that are used to clean and disinfect patient care equipment and instruments. The IP should check all facility cleaning policies to ensure that appropriate cleaning agents are being used correctly, per EPA regulations and IFU. Housekeeping. Housekeeping surfaces require regular cleaning and removal of soil and dust. Most, if not all, housekeeping surfaces need to be cleaned with only soap and water or a detergent/disinfectant, depending on the nature of the surface and the type and degree of contamination. Horizontal surfaces with infrequent hand contact, example, windowsills and hard surface flooring, in routine patient care areas require cleaning on a regular basis when soiling or spills occur, and when a patient is discharged from the facility. When cleaning floors, caution must be used to avoid contamination of cleaning solutions and tools. Bucket solutions should be replaced frequently because they become contaminated quickly and can spread microorganisms to surfaces. Cleaning cloths and mop heads must be laundered and dried before reuse to minimize contamination. Dilute solutions in detergents or disinfectants can contain microorganisms and should not be prepared in a dirty container, stored for long periods of time, or prepared incorrectly. Avoid using contaminated solutions in small quantity aerosol bottles or equipment that might produce aerosols during operation, especially in high-risk patient areas. Minimize bacterial contamination by making fresh cleaning solution daily, discarding any remaining solution, and drying out the container. Special care areas. Guidelines have been published regarding cleaning strategies for isolation areas. The basic strategies for areas housing immunosuppressed patients include: wet dusting horizontal surfaces daily with cleaning cloths pre-moistened with detergent or an EPA-registered hospital disinfectant or disinfectant wipes. Using care when wet dusting equipment and surfaces above the patient to avoid patient contact with the detergent/disinfectant. Avoiding the use of cleaning equipment that produces mists or aerosols. Equipping vacuums with HEPA filters, especially for the exhaust, when used in any patient care area housing immunosuppressed patients. Regular cleaning and maintenance of equipment to ensure efficient particle removal or cleaning. Before the day's surgery begins, clean and disinfect all flat surfaces, wipe from top to bottom, then from the center outward. The patient bed and its attachments, positioning devices, and patient transfer devices. The floor should be cleaned with an EPA-registered hospital disinfectant/detergent according to the manufacturer's instructions. Cleaning between patients must always include all high-touch and contaminated surfaces and objects that were used. At the end of each day's operating schedule, a complete terminal cleaning of every or scrub room and service room must be done. The decontamination process in terminal cleaning starts with the ceiling and/or lights and moves downward, with the floor cleaned last. Other common issues. As a part of environmental cleaning, healthcare facility plans should address other common issues and areas, such as blood and body substance spills, carpeting and cloth furnishings, and flowers and plants. Blood and body substance spills. Prompt removal and surface disinfection of an area contaminated by either blood or body substances are sound infection control practices. Workers cleaning a blood or body substance spill should wear appropriate PPE. Confine the spill and wipe it up immediately with absorbent, paper, towels or cloths or absorbent granules. If available, better spread over the spill to solidify the blood or body fluid. All should then be disposed of as infectious waste. Clean thoroughly using neutral detergent and warm water solution. Disinfect using a facility-approved intermediate-level disinfectant. Typically chlorine-based disinfectants at 500 to 5,000 ppm free chlorine. 100 or 110 dilution of 5% chlorine bleach, depending on the size of the spill, are adequate for disinfecting spills. However, do not use chlorine-based disinfectants on urine spills. Take care to allow the disinfectant to remain wet on the surface for the required contact time, example, 10 minutes, and then rinse the area with clean water to remove the disinfectant residue, if required. Immediately send all reusable supplies and equipment, example, cleaning cloths, mops, for reprocessing, cleaning and disinfection after the spill is cleaned up. Textiles, carpeting and cloth furnishings. The cleaning of textiles is an essential part of environmental cleaning in healthcare facilities, but one that can present extra challenges. Facility plans should include routine cleaning schedules for textiles such as carpeting and cloth furnishings. These schedules should include procedures for identifying effective cleaning agents. The CDC's guidelines recommend cleaning with a product containing soap, detergent, or other type of cleaner that is EPA registered and approved for use on soft surfaces. Items should be laundered according to manufacturer's instructions. Thus, selecting carpets and cloth furnishings that are readily cleanable using available cleaners is important. Carpet cleaning should be performed on a regular basis determined by internal policy. Care should be taken to minimize or prevent production of aerosols and dispersal of carpet microorganisms into the air caused by both vacuuming and shampooing or wet cleaning. Vacuum cleaners should be maintained to minimize dust dispersal in general and should be equipped with HEPA filters, especially those used in high-risk patient areas. Carpet cleaning equipment needs to be in good repair and allowed to dry between uses. While most modern carpet brands suitable for public facilities can tolerate the activity of a variety of liquid chemical germicides, carpeting contaminated with blood or other potentially infectious materials cannot be fully decontaminated. Carpet tiles are recommended in high-activity patient care areas at high risk for spills. In the event of contamination with blood or other body substances, carpet tiles can be removed, discarded, and replaced. Privacy curtains are another textile item that can become contaminated with certain pathogens. A CDC study found that spraying privacy curtains with an improved hydrogen peroxide spray can significantly reduce EMD or O contamination, greater than 95%. However, for certain pathogens, see difficile, for example, contaminated curtains should be removed and properly laundered before being reused. They should be cleaned whenever visibly soiled in addition to scheduled routine cleanings. And when a patient is removed from contact or droplet precautions, the privacy curtains should be removed, cleaned, and disinfected. Flowers and plants. While flowers in hospitals have not been found to be significantly more contaminated with bacteria compared with flowers in restaurants or in the home, precautions for general patient care settings should be implemented, including limiting flower and plant care to staff with no direct patient contact, advising healthcare staff to wear gloves when handling plants, washing hands after handling plants, changing vase water every 2 days and discharging the water into a sink outside the immediate patient environment, cleaning and disinfecting vases after use. Attempts should be made to exclude flowers and plants from areas where immunosuppressed patients are located. Example, HSCT hematopoietic stem cell transplant units.